ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week is part two with Coach Joe. We dive deeper into her career and what she has done and what she stands for with this beautiful game. If you thought part one was great, part two is great too. Re-listening to this countless times now, she's a remarkable person. I'm not going to deny that by 1 second. And her attitude towards this beautiful game is amazing. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch. So with your experience and everything and moving forward and you always staying in touch, when you worked with FC Dallas, so you were part of the contract side, I would probably more of like the manager of the youth program type setup. You actually got involved with the VAR side for FC Dallas a few years ago.
Yes.
And I know that you weren't like the ref making the decisions. You were part of that team.
Yes, please say that again, because people don't.
I think people don't understand how many people, because it deals with technology and things along that line, that you were, I would call it more of an assistant to the head VAR ref, might be the better way of putting it. How would you describe that job function and that experience? Because I think people don't understand
how much actually goes into VAR. When we talked the very first time, I didn't realize there was so much involved in VAR and how we view and see the game, because my understanding of VAR was completely different until we actually chatted that one day. And I didn't realize there was so much behind the scenes that go involved. And I find it very fascinating that how in depth it actually goes. And I think you have an inside foot on this one.
Yeah. So the summer of 2017 is when they were like trying to launch it and all that stuff. And they reached out to me to see if I could work the game. And I was like, what am I going to be doing? What is this? I thought it was actually a prank. But so they called me and they're like, can you just sit in the middle of the field and just be by this monitor? Because again, they were testing it behind, not behind the scenes, but they were, it was like mid-season already, 2017. So I was like, yeah. So I did that for a few months. And then in 2018 for spring, they sent us all out to Arizona because there was a preseason with the MLS teams. Sorry. They had preseason in spring or preseason in February for the kickoff in spring in Arizona with some of those teams. And so the referees were there. They had to get mic'd up. They had to understand the verbiage that they had to use so we could get that proper, what do you call it? The proper decision-making right on cue. So that was in 2018. And then 2018, I went up to the press box and we had to show up hours before the game. And they had to do all the camera angles. We had to test it, make sure everything was in sync, make sure the walkie-talkies were fine, make sure the signal was working properly with the monitor on the field. And so that was 2018, 19. And the coolest part about that for me, again, I'm not a referee, I'm not certified, and I don't make any decisions, but listening to the referees was the coolest thing ever. The way they would talk to the players, the way they would set the tone in the game, whether you're a Clint Dempsey or Wayne Rooney, whoever you were, like, I would write down some of their quotes on my phone because I thought they were just hilarious. Referees are so cool. And yeah, I remember some live games where they had to make a decision and the referee was looking at one part, a play that was going on in the box, and we were looking at another. And we kept giving him like the different speed that he needed to make the decision on the monitor. And then when he finally said, I'm looking at Clint Dempsey, it's a red card. And we're like, wait, what? Because we were looking at the other player that was doing the slide tackle, but Clint Dempsey had gone up and elbowed this other player in the nose. And the referee did the review and he gave him a red card and Clint Dempsey clapped. And we're like, okay, like you need to tell us which player you're looking at. And the referee down there is like feeling the pressure. Okay, what's taking us along? What are we doing up there? And then I got pregnant. I was gone for a while. When I came back, I was on the field again. And I actually, that's the best seat in town. Because even when Messi came, being on the field, I understood the hype of why he's so big. And just like being able to watch him and how he would talk to the players and communicate. Yeah, that was amazing. I loved doing it. It gave me a different perspective. As a coach, I would always take notes. As I say, this is how they're playing from the back. This is how they're setting up again to attack. How does the coach adjust if they're down 2-0? Does he make any changes? Why is he making that sub? Why? Just all these things. Like, I just took note. How they warmed up. It was fun.
Are you planning on doing it this upcoming season then? Or is life too chaotic now with family and everything?
No, they switched companies. So it's not Hawkeye Innovations anymore. It's another company. And it's been 6 years. And I was like, oh, I watched Messi. I think that was the highlight. I was like, I think I'm okay. I think I'll try to get connected again. Not currently, but the past two seasons, I coached Dan Hunt's daughter, Darlington, and her team. So I probably picked that up again in the spring. And then with camps and stuff, it was fun. But I thought I'll try to get connected some other way.
Because I want to say clear, but you see how much is involved in the game and you want to have the best of both worlds. You're trying to find the balance from the sounds of it, family life and soccer life. And I feel soccer can take over your life very easy. And I'm not saying I'm guilty of this or anything. but it's easy for letting the beautiful game just run rampant and just take over everything. And from the sounds of it, you're trying to figure out the balance, which is
Yeah.
impressive.
Even right now with winter, with high school soccer, so it's huge with my husband because he's the one who has to pick up the kids from school, dinner if I didn't make it already, and putting them to bed because I get home late. And I was like, man, if I did this year round, he'd kill me. And it's high school soccer, so that's just like 3 months, November, December. I guess December is half a month, but yeah, it's 3 months. And he's like, when is it over? I was like, but he also sees the positives to it. I have the kids in the evenings and he's had their own like system and schedule. But yeah, it's a huge commitment. Luckily, there's no weekend games. That's when I get to do real estate. Otherwise, yeah.
And with high school, this is something that I've been struggling to find someone to talk about because I feel like high school is a totally different beast. And depending on what coach you talk to, some coaches are all for them playing for their high school team, want them playing for their high school team. And you have other coaches saying, nope, I don't want my players playing for their high school. Too high of risk, too high of injury. And I understand both sides of the argument. As a parent, it would be great for my kid to go play for his high school, whatever it may be. But if he wants to play at a club and play on a high level team, I don't know how you divide the time because high school is so many days a week, your club's so many days a week. And if you get to a certain level, it's 4 to 5 days a week for your club, and you don't take those 3 months off. Those are just part of the regular season. You get 2 weeks off at Christmas, and that's it.
Yeah, no, even with my brother, I'm seeing that now. He's a junior in high school. He's playing club, and I get his email notifications that his practices are like 7:45 to 9 p.m. And then he already had high school practice right after school till who knows when. And then obviously the nights he has games and he won't go to practice. But it's like, how is that balance? And also depends on family dynamic and your parents take you. Or if you're old enough to drive, like all that stuff. I know the club games are on the weekend, and then weeknights you have high school games. I just think it's on family dynamic. And if you can make that commitment, and if you really want to play, because there's some players who just do it just because, I don't know, their parents made them, who knows? Yeah, they have to really like it. Don't waste your time. Don't waste the other teams. Don't waste your team's time. Don't waste your parents' time. If you're gonna do it, just fully commit and be grateful for the opportunities that can come with.
I think that's the hard thing for parents. And now, with your perspective, having been part of the club world and now being part of the high school world, how do you view the game the same, or do you view it more pressure for them to play? I shouldn't say pressure, but more of a wanting players to play for a high school level versus a club level team, or you just want them to love the game?
I would say definitely love the game. I don't know how public schools are where, and we're grateful for them, for the teachers that maybe just pick it up to help out, but they are more of a volleyball coach or more of a whatever others coach. We appreciate them coming out to take the time to learn the sport, to, like you said, the commitment to look at sessions and drills to do for the team. And really commit to the team for the season. Because to have that, it's a lot. But for the players, maybe they fall out of it because the coach, they're like, oh, the coach doesn't know what to do or how to coach us. And I never had that in high school. We had coaches that were like soccer coaches, teachers and soccer coaches. So I don't know how I would be as a high school player where my coach, you know the game, you played club, you know what it's like. And that level of work or an ethic and practice, the structure is not there. As a team, I don't know, like, how do you maybe help that coach? I think that's a little bit of a default, maybe, for high school.
Gotcha.
For private schools, I don't know how it is, but I know I have soccer experience, and the other two coaches have soccer experiences. Actually, all of them do. The JV ones too. So I think it plays a huge part on the coach and what they bring to the game.
Now, I know you're coaching at a private school, and I feel sometimes school's the only place these players have a chance to be seen or have a chance to play the game. I've heard some great stories of kids going on to a JUCO college or a D2 or B3 college, I think it is. Don't ask me questions about college. I know nothing about it. Still trying to learn that avenue. If I have misquoted anything here, I'm sorry to everyone. It is the issue with the soccer in the United States is the pay-to-play model. And high school is the one avenue where these players have a chance to really be seen and be shown, even though it's only 3 months out of the year. I've heard stories where these kids get a chance to go be seen only in college, never played club, but go on to a high-level college program. Do you think that is a fault in the U.S. soccer society then? I know it's because you've been on both sides of the equation. You've seen the club side and you've seen now you're seeing the high school side. Do you see it as a fault in the U.S. program side world of soccer, seeing that high school is undervalued and not valued enough because there are plenty of kids that play at a high school level, but that's all only thing their families can afford.
No, I agree, because my parents didn't have the money to pay those club dues. And back then, now I hear it's 2, 3, 4K plus. And the ones that play in high school, maybe they like for me, like I played club here and there, but when I didn't make varsity, I was like, but I've mainly been playing with boys. I know I have that level of play and speed. But for high school, sometimes you have players who've played other sports and then they play, so they're an athlete, but then that, you teach them those tactical and technical parts of the game and they like are great. And I read a recent article about, yeah, that pay to play method, and I don't know how it could be changed now. I know, I think in other countries they don't pay, or if they pay, it's very minimal.
It's more wreck. If you go to the UK, and this is something that I think people don't understand, they think it's free. They do have some fees, and you do pay for things throughout the season because it's a community sport. So the community helps pay, offsets the cost. Then you do pay your fees to, it's more like rec style, or it's grassroots over there. And I think that's what they call it, if I'm not mistaken. And they pay a small fee, might be enough to pay for their uniforms, but the coach is a volunteer, but the coach is not a parent, it's maybe a parent volunteer, but they know the game. It's not like here where you get a parent volunteer like myself that played one season of what we call club sports in high school, which is just, oh, we're going to see if there's interest in our school for a soccer team. And the following year, they start a soccer program and they start at 7th and 8th grade where they started the program in my school. So I never played in high school and I never went on playing anywhere else other than for fun when I did play. And then they have parents that over there, then they pay their fees. Then you get picked up by the big clubs. You have to think they have what, 97 or something like that professional teams in the UK. That's the example I like using because at the size of the country. And those 97 teams all have academy programs that are an outreach program to the community. And I don't think people realize here in the United States, it would be like FC Dallas, not FC Dallas. It'd be for American football. It'd be like the New York Giants having age groups from U11 on up and kids going directly into the pros American football and having the American football team paying for it, or the Cowboys or whoever it may be paying for the kids' programs. Here in the United States, the thing that changed was to have the academy programs with the part of their agreements with the FA. To have their youth programs, they have to have a percentage of their teams. Anyone playing in the MLS next program is a free ride for those players. And anything else is at a cost. And when you start looking at clubs that have MLS next teams at the youth age, somehow they're being subsidized either by the families that are involved at the younger age groups or they have sponsors. And I think people need to start realizing it's all being paid for, but it's being paid for by a community sport. And until soccer is a truly developed sport here, and that means it's developed in the community and not just on the pitch, it will never be truly developed as much as we want it to be because baseball and American football are all ingrained in our, even basketball, are all ingrained. And you can go play pickup games anywhere and have 15, 20 kids at a basketball court playing basketball, or same thing with a football or a baseball field. That's slowly going away, but I feel like basketball will never go away. And the best quote I was given to me last year, until the game is played in the poorest communities, soccer will never be developed here. And with the pay-to-play model, it really makes it hard because the scholarships aren't going to the kids that truly need it. Most of the time, it's going to the kids that they want. And I'm not bashing clubs on this. I understand it's a business and they have to win in order to survive. Otherwise, kids are going to other clubs.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And then also with, I think a few weeks ago, it came out that Maria Sanchez was the highest paid player in the NWSL with Houston Dash, and she's not even 30 and she didn't play club. And I was like, wow, like her story, that's insane.
It's the drive. I
Yeah.
think, and this is where I think the pay-to-play model kind of hinders our soccer community. Parents buy their kids' success, so to speak. They aren't, the kid may not be wanting to play or having the desire to play at a high level. I'll use my son. I don't know if where he's, what his next move is for this beautiful game, but he was a kid that came home from school every day and we called it left foot. So you can only use your left foot to score goals. And he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't come home. His interests are he loves soccer. His dream is still to be a pro soccer player, but he likes making stop motion videos. He likes doing other things. He likes reading books. But when he's on a soccer field, he wants to play and be competitive. But I think it goes back to our soccer community. If we had the community like in Europe, he wants to play with someone else. He doesn't want to play by himself. If he was able to just go down the street to a park and
Yeah.
meet up with six friends and play 3v3 for 2 hours, I think he'd be the happiest kid in the world. But
Yeah.
having him to go dribble cones in the hallway on bad days or go out back and do the same thing, it's a struggle because he wants to be doing it with someone else. And maybe that is how we raised him. He's a firstborn kid. And when you're getting your coaching license, how did you view the program? Because I feel like that's part of the problem is how we're setting up our coaches for success in the United States. And you having played the game, starting a program, playing in college, and now coaching at a higher level, I feel, because I feel like you have a different view of the game than a lot of coaches because you have the ODP side of this. And I think that is something that most coaches, I think, are lacking are those experiences because you get to see the national team mindset more and having the play practice play model. And this is where iView sets up for lazy coaches because it is this model where they come in and they let them play a setup to play, they practice, and then they have them scrimmage at the end normally. And I have watched enough practices now, great coaches will interrupt and give feedback and give positive reinforcement or stop and have a course correction, so to speak, and have them helped with their progress of changing how they're doing what they're doing in that last play section. But I also feel like I've watched too many coaches now sit back in that last play part and go talk to parents and not participate in the practice anymore. And I feel like there's not many coaches in the middle. It's either they're super into it or they're there and the last play part is, I see it more in the academy level, the U11 and under level with that last part than the older age groups. But it's just something I have watched and noticed. How do you feel now having your licensing and being part of ODP and coaching at a high school? Because I don't feel like you have to follow the curriculum as well, because you can follow your own curriculum. And I know that a lot of MLS clubs have they have their coaches get their license and they change. Like, that's not our model. This is how you run your practices. This is how you do things. This is what we know that's successful. This is just the model that the US Federation has taken.
I honestly, I think that's why I steered away from coaching club because, again, I've been on the other side where I've done admin, I've handled the emails, the calls. The parents are like, this coach has X amount of teams, and I don't think he's or she is committed to the team and developing the players. And as much as I heard that on the phone and the emails, and even the coaches, just seeing them like come in, I won't say burnt out team after team at the end of the night, I'm like, I don't know if I want that, not just for me selfishly, but I think I want to work. I think there's enough coaches out there doing what they do that I want to just focus on player development. And I didn't think that the parents would understand if it wasn't a 10-0 record for their first season ever playing soccer. Like they expect the players to like know what going down the line means and all this stuff. And again, they're only 5, 6, or even 8 if they're first time playing. So that's why I also was like, all these clubs are asking me to coach. Let me just launch my own skills program. So for me, I prefer not to do privates unless they're like a certain age. But for the younger ones, it's more like small group or in group because you also want to apply that scrimmage 3v3, 4v4, and just let them play a little bit. And then it's okay, let's stop here. How can we make this better? But you ask them, have them think about it. The answer is not given. Okay, what do you think about this? Do you think this is better? And then have them, again, it's our coach, it's our job as a coach to teach them. So for the ones playing coaching clubs, different teams on a weekend, like you're going back and forth. I don't know how they do it. That's all I can say. Even with high school, I go sometimes with the varsity and then sometimes I help with the JV team. And I'm like, okay, I missed a few practices of the JV. What did we work on? Okay, how are we going to apply that in this game? I'm not saying it's not possible, but I think it's good to just commit to that team and help them get better in the practices versus just scrimmage. Like, how do you do that all practice?
It's hard. I don't know how these coaches. My son's head coach, Anthony, and I use him because I feel like he's a great example of this. He is Gibraltar's national. He's an assistant coach for the Gibraltar's national team. And it's always fun watching him come back from his international duties because he has, I view it as a parent, and I find it jokingly, is that he still think he's talking to full grown men out there on the soccer field, and you're talking to a bunch of 10 and 11 year olds. And but his expectations as a coach, and this is what we admire as a family, is that he has the same expectation of those full grown men as he does his players that he at any level he coaches. I think that's important to have. Let's just make sure I think I covered every question, and I have. And if there's
You're coloring?
Mommy, can you
read?
I know I'm bouncing all over the place and I'm sorry. We've talked about coaching so much here. And as a coach, what challenges do you see these players have playing for both? We talked about it with briefly, but any challenges or advice you could give to these players or parents that are playing both for their high school team and their club? Because I feel there's a self of pride as a player having to play for your high school. And then there is the competitiveness inside of these players, doesn't matter who they are, of being still being able to play for their club. Any advice you could give these parents being able to balance the two other than the home life, because that's a family commitment on top of it. But as a player, you'd give the players or the parents for their players.
For me personally, I think that in order for them to continue to enjoy what they do, if you're going to be going to their games, if a player, and I'm saying from personal experience, because my dad would, I'd be like, that's not my dad. He did not just say that. Let the refs do their job. It's they, the refs don't tell the coach how to coach. The refs don't tell the parents how to behave unless they're too out of control. That also sucks away the joy of the game. On the car ride home, don't just badger them and say, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Find the positives. Ask the player for their feedback without, in a positive light, say, what are the three things that you think you did great? What are three things that you think you could have worked on? How can we fix that at practice for the next game? How we can get better? Show that support. So again, they can continue to like the sport because if a parent is, I'll say badgering, but just pointing out the stuff they didn't do, just try to find it in a positive light to continue to encourage and support them. Again, if it works for you to play club and high school and having that balance, because I know you can get stressed out, you have your work, then you come make dinner real quick, and then you rush their games, and then you feel like your kid is not playing the best, and then you just lash out on them and say, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Okay, Be thankful. I'm here to watch my kid. I get to watch my kid. Maybe write notes if you want on your phone. Oh, she did that great pass.
Here you go.
Maybe the kid won't remember it. Remember that set piece that you did? You had a great assist. It's a good job supporting your defense in the back, telling them to keep pushing up. Just having that positive reinforcement with them on the car ride home, I think would be a huge support for players that play club and high school or any, or just one or the other.
That's awesome. Now, that's the one I really want to talk about is what's the difference you've seen between North Texas and South Texas? Because I think parents get hung up on, don't understand. I always call it the crazy world of North Texas soccer. And everyone says, no, that's not true. Every area has there. I'm like, no, like North Texas is a special area of the country when it comes to soccer. And I've talked to enough parents from all over the country now. I'm learning like what happens here is it happens all over the country, but I feel like it is more blown up, more dynamic, and more drama than anywhere else in the country. So how have you seen the difference of the dynamics?
Yeah. So again, I didn't do much coaching in Houston in regard to club. I was mostly on the admin side and help with camps and stuff. So that's like more fun. But for club, I heard great feedback from them, from the coaches and stuff. But when I moved up here, I remember saying North Texas is a different animal. It's what I saw is. We wanted, I was part of Texas Rush in Houston, and then they tried to do an affiliate program out here in Dallas. And I remember when we first started, I was so excited. I was like, I know what Rush is. It's the Rush way. It's all over the nation. It's even international in Spain and Brazil and Honduras. Like, Rush is a big youth soccer club. So for it to be in Dallas, and this was like my first or second year in here, and I'm like, this is going to be great for North Texas. But we had a bunch of teams come over. So teams. It wasn't like open tryout, let's form teams. It was teams coming over. The coaches coming with the players. So I was like, oh, okay. I think we had one or not even 1 or 2 years of it. And then they wanted that next, I think it was coming up, ECNL for girls. This is before pre-ECNL and whatever else is out there. And they wanted that for their girls, but we couldn't offer it because of whatever reason, we just either too young of a club or financial. I don't know what it was, but we didn't. We wouldn't. We weren't going to have it. And then the club just dismantled. Like, we didn't have the club anymore. They went to a different club. Again, the whole team that had was offering whatever. So I was like, wow, like the players followed the coach. I found that very odd, because in Houston it was like it's tryouts and you go and try out with that team. But here it's like, I would say you almost follow your coach. But why do you follow your coach? Maybe he's been or she's been coaching you for years and you have that like chemistry. But in the back of my mind, it's like, can't you just, I won't say create it, but as a coach, can't you like put that in your sessions? Team bonding, like you can create that. So yeah, here in North Texas, I've noticed that they follow the coach and they're all like almost as a unit. And I just thought that was crazy. But when we play an ODP, sometimes you see that too. I have some friends from play South Texas ODP, and they're like, yeah, North Texas just has that like chemistry from like age two and up. I'm kidding, of course, but from very early on, they're like always playing together. So I don't
I
know.
guess my son doesn't fit that mold for Texas. He's been on five or six different teams since he's been, or four or five different teams, I think four teams.
Have to be coachable.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's finding that's my point since we've been in this world of club and having to go through tryouts. It's finding the right coach for my player. And we don't care if we have to search every year. And I finally feel like we have a coach for our player and that can coach him and develop him. Is it the right coach? Does he feel wanted on the team? Does he feel needed on the team? Does he feel like he's being utilized to the best of his abilities? And I know he's only 10, but we've gone to tryouts and he's gotten the contract, don't ever take me back there again. And there's nothing against those coaches. It's just that it's not the personality he needs. And every player needs something. And he as much as we have a say in it, he has a say in it. But we always tell him like we have final say in some of these decisions because we're the ones paying for it. But you have just as big a say in it. So I get that where these kids, I've seen coaches here that I have coached the same kids since they've been 6 or 7, and now they're 17, 18 years old and getting ready to go off to college. And it's, they feel like they're losing their kids. And it's amazing. And
yeah.
So
this is what I tell my players from Skills for Soccer that are 8, 9, 10 years old. And they're like, okay, maybe you want to do club. I was like, but this is what I would tell you. Reach out, go to teamplayer.com. You can search by age, how far you're willing to drive, because by the radius and then the gender and all that stuff. And it'll pull up some clubs for you. Or you can even search it online, North Texas Soccer. Reach out to the coach and say, hey, my son is interested in playing club. You can do that now. Can we come out to a practice before you make the financial and time commitment? Because it's big for a club. And yeah, just go to a few different ones. Don't just go to one and be like, oh, that's the one. Let your child make the decision. You as a parent also see how they're talking to the coaches, how they're running the curriculum. What does your schedule look like? What is the financial commitment? Don't just go to one. I can only refer XYZ, but it's up to you to make that decision who you want to go to.
There you go.
And that, I think that's the thing. I think having, maybe you can give me, if we're, my insight and my family's insight on this is we normally try to find a coach we like. Mm-hmm. We will either go to a training session and have Lennon train with them. Then we try to find their a game we can go watch them coach in to see how they behave on the sidelines.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Are they the same way in practice? Do they have a different demeanor on the during games? And it's amazing how much you can learn from a coach by just watching them coach in a game. And if you don't even let them know, we'll go. There's one coach we went and watched 3 of his games, and every single game he was the same behavior and as he was in practice. Yes, we like this coach. It was just a few things we didn't like. Nothing against the coach. We liked the coach. There was just dynamics on the team that my son struggled with. And that's the thing. It's if you don't have him try out for those 6 sessions, you never learn that there's a dynamic struggle.
But I think you made a good point way, way earlier when you talked about ODP and how it's just like those two practices, something that I can reach out and ask about, can we offer a camp during the summer? And obviously there's the dynamics of the heat, the time, people are traveling and other stuff, but could there be a camp that they come out before tryouts? That's something that I can ask them.
It's a great question. I have tons of questions for ODP because how I view ODP is, it's not a great light, but I feel like I'm making a decision based off hearsay and what I'm reading online. It's not actually talking to anyone from ODP. It's just looking at parents' comments throughout the country and reading what's on their website. And I have an opinion on it, and it's a matter of trying to either correct my opinion and make it correct, or am I truly still right with my opinion? And
that's good that you're reaching out and asking, even if from North Texas or other ODP coaches, like you can ask a few questions. And that's good that you're asking that, because maybe other parents want to ask and don't reach out. But if there's nothing to hide,
and I think and that's just why I like having these conversations. That's the whole point of this podcast, was to be a educational standpoint from a parent that has a kid playing. And it's not all my questions come from me. I ask for help all the time when I have guests. And that's the thing. It is, our soccer community is a collective, and it's a community. It's not just a handful of individuals or a handful of clubs running everything. It is the parents behind the scenes, and the better educated we have our parents, I feel the better we can make decisions for our players that can actually make positive influence changes in our community. I'm hoping for, and that's the whole point of that. This is to make a positive influence and a positive change for what we're trying to do,
mm-hmm.
playing soccer. And I feel like if we're able to do that, the better off we are. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you my last favorite question, and you can answer it however you want or whoever it is. Who has been your greatest influence as a player growing up and playing, and who has been your greatest influence as a coach? And it could be anyone. It doesn't have to be a player. It doesn't have to be a coach. It could be people that have influenced you in this beautiful game.
I think I want to start as a player, Mia Hamm. And I'm going way back because, yeah. I'll remember the commercial with her and Michael Jordan. Everyone knew Michael Jordan was the greatest for basketball. And to have Mia Hamm be in that Gatorade commercial with him. And I think she's like my height. I think she's 5'4", 5'5". I was like, wow, this is amazing. I remember watching her in the World Cup for the women, like early on. And even now, she's still growing the game with her camps and public speaking. And just, I remember she played, I think, in North Carolina. And I remember in high school saying, man, I'd love to go where she went. So I just know, and even like right now, I think it's Marta from Brazil. And how she's growing the game. I think she just recently received like this award. I forgot the title of it, but it was like a community people something. And so Mia Hamm, and right now I think Marta. Something about played with the letter M, I don't know. So for players, it's them. And then as a coach, I think my dad. I've had amazing coaches growing up, again, high school club. All that fun stuff. But my dad, again, he played himself, but he did also coach me with small group training and stuff like off season. And even with his refereeing point of view, gave me all these great tips. And even the way he would train us is how he trained in Mexico. And I was like, whoa, I loved the way he trained us. At the time, I didn't like it because I was like, again, 14, 13, and his child. And I felt like he was just on me because I was his daughter. But looking back, I'm like, no, like the way he trained us was pretty different, unique, and I definitely grew stronger. So best player that I looked up to, I think, was Mia Hamm, and best coach, my dad.
Hey everyone, I hope you all enjoyed this final episode with Coach Joe. She's unbelievable. She's an amazing woman. In middle school, elementary school, she started a program. She did not give up on her dream of making varsity and made varsity and continued playing varsity through high school. Went on to a college and started a woman's soccer team. How awesome is that? I mean, I can't imagine the drive that she has for this beautiful game, the love she has for it. I don't see this that often out of many people for anything, let alone soccer. Going on and starting her own soccer program, working for the Houston Dash, working on so many different programs. I mean, she has been part of soccer her whole life. And it's her drive, her love. Having the chance to talk to her through this episode, beyond the episode and before the episode, you can just hear her love and how much she cares for this game. I mean, watching her from afar, still in the soccer community, doing what she's doing has been amazing. And it's pretty cool. And to be able to work with ODP to help shape the next generation of young players trying to make it to a national viewpoint, then working with her skills and really wanting to help players be better. I mean, just the MLS experience alone. I mean, most people would dream for that moment. And here she was a person that helped start it with the MLS for the VAR. I mean, what a great person, a great role model for your young players. Young parents with young ladies, this is someone that you can have your daughters look up to. Parents, if you have a son, look what she has done. And didn't let anything stand in her way. She's remarkable. I can't say much more about who she is other than she is great. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on.
give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.